Welcome to On Air, a podcast by FempoLab. We host bi-weekly discussions with inspiring founders and professionals from all around the world to talk about their journey, aspirations, and the power of connection. My name is Clara, and I'm the co-founder of FempoLab, a career development platform for women. Our first guest is Christina Montem. Christina is a consultant, trainer, mentor, and coach who specializes in personal branding, strategic communications, and emotional intelligence for leadership. She's a former journalist with more than 12 years of experience in the Czech, Romanian, and international media. 10 years ago, she founded her PR advisory and training agency. Building her own business will be the main topic of our episode, so stay with us. Hello, Christina.
Hi, Clara. Thank you for having me here.
Christina, for the very beginning, I'd like to ask you, what did you want to be when you grew up?
That is a beautiful question, because I grew up in a small village in Transylvania, and that was a time towards the end of the communist era. And I remember wanting to be a baker, because there was so, you know, the bread was on restriction and stuff like that. And I remember the smell of fresh bread. And there couldn't be something that would make me happier than simply having access to fresh bread. So that was my first dream. And then the second, when I was about 11, I discovered a book in my aunt's library. And that was a book written by a journalist who, towards the end of the Vietnam War. And that was at that time that I knew that I wanted to become a journalist. And that vision helped me for my future career steps.
Wow, so it really translated into your career in the upcoming years for your studies and for your work. So as you already mentioned, you're originally from Romania. You both studied and later on worked in journalism. And you continued working as a journalist even after coming to Prague some 20 years ago. Now you have your own strategic communications agency, and you're also a leadership coach and mentor. Tell us more about this journey of yours.
Wow, how much time do we have? I'll try to be short. Indeed, you know, the journalism has been the love of my life professionally. And the moment I realized that this is what I would like to do with my life, I started to figure out how to study it. So I got admitted back in 2000 at the University of Bucharest, and I studied journalism there. Then I went with an Erasmus scholarship to France, to Grenoble, and there two things happened. Well, first of all, I was able to speak French and to develop my journalistic skills in a foreign language. But second, more important, I fell in love with the Czech. So once I finished my studies, I decided to come to Prague and join my then boyfriend here. And soon after, I got a job. I started to initially as a freelancer, and then I got a full job with Czech Business Weekly, which was at the time the only English language economic magazine published on the Czech market. So I felt myself very privileged to be able to do the work I love, even on a foreign market. And, you know, doing journalism in those times of economic growth in the Czech Republic since 2005 to 2010, those were really good years of my life and my career.
So you worked for Czech Business Weekly. What happened next? How did you come into building your own business?
Well, the transition is very interesting, because it is our talk today is very timely. What happened exactly 10 years ago, at the end of April 2010, Czech Business Weekly was closed. And it was closed very abruptly as a consequence of the economic crisis. Perhaps you remember that since 2008, you know, the whole world was in an economic crisis. But we as a medium exposed to advertising, we just found ourselves at early 2010 with massive debt and also with almost dry advertising. So our owner could not sell us and decided to close us. And he did that overnight. So basically, at the last week of April 2010, on Monday, they decided to close us. On Tuesday, they announced us. On Friday, I wrote my last editorial. And during the weekend, we cleaned up. And on Monday, we were in front of the building, you know, saying goodbye to our careers, which was very important for us, because it was not just saying goodbye to a job. It was really, for many of us, me included, saying goodbye to a career, because we could not, because of language barriers, we could not work in the Czech media. So at that time, I didn't feel comfortable or confident enough to start applying to a job in the Czech media. And on top of that, everyone was in a crisis, so no one was hiring. Therefore, we had to start doing something else. And in my case, I chose to become an entrepreneur and to flip-flop my career and start my own business.
Wow. Okay. So that was very brave. You mentioned the language barrier. How did you tackle that when starting your own business and not being yet totally fluent in Czech?
Well, that was indeed a big challenge because I was known in the English-speaking community, and very few people knew that. In fact, I come from Romania. So what I intended to do was to flip-flop my know-how and provide people with media training and crisis communications. So teach people how to talk to journalists from a journalist's perspective. Share with people what we need and, you know, what we look for when we talk to sources and so on and so forth. And my hope was that because I will do them in English, my training sessions, people will receive a double value. Okay, so quality content in English and so on. Well, surprise, surprise, the market said no. What happened is that in the early, well, in 2008, 2009, the majority of the expat managers withdrew from the market, again, as a consequence of the economic crisis. So we had a lot of Czech managers who took high positions, and they were already under a lot of stress. So they didn't need to go in front of a camera and, you know, develop their communication competencies in English. So I had to figure out very soon, very early on, how to make a living for myself. And I found two ways to do that. Well, first of all, was to really try to do my work in Czech. And I feel very blessed because I had partners who allowed me to do that. I remember a large project for 13 bank managers where I literally went to each of them and sat down for 30 minutes and talked to each of them and asked them, is my Czech good enough for you? If it's good enough, you can continue. If not, it doesn't make sense. We can either do it in English or we can let it go. So that was testing how people would react to my Czech. And the second was to start providing services on top of my training, like media advisory and public relations, which was also very helpful because it helped me to stabilize my cash flow and navigate this challenging period before I established myself as a trainer.
Mm-hmm. What did those people tell you about your Czech when you tested it out?
Well, we went ahead with the whole project, which, again, I feel very grateful mm-hmm. until today because I think we had 30 managers and the whole summer, I think it was summer of 2011, where we had three sessions per person. So I had more than 90 sessions overall. And that was a wonderful project. One of the projects that, you know, I've learned a lot. And it really taught me what such high-level managers really expect from a media trainer and consultant. This is also one of the moments when I launched I launched two things. First, I launched my media coaching business because I realized that people really welcome one-on-one sessions. It's hard when you're a CEO to go in front of the camera and perhaps have an outburst of emotions and be seen by your peers in the board. It just makes you feel very vulnerable. So you don't want to do that. But when in a one-on-one setting, it's just different. And, coaching and mentoring methods are more suitable for such high-level executives. Second, I realized the importance of emotional intelligence. And this literally teleported my career into a different and complementary direction, if you will, because this is the moment when I moved from strategic communication skills, which is what I call media training and crisis communications, into emotional intelligence and leadership. Mm-hmm. Because I've learned how important it is to be able to master your emotions, particularly in cases of very challenging communication situations, like, an interview with a difficult journalist or situations of crisis communications that you need to manage as an executive internally or externally. So this is what I did. And I started my own education in this new field of emotional intelligence and psychology for healthy people. And this brought a lot of depth and a lot of, you know, self-understanding, but also new products also to my offering.
Mm. How hard was it to find the first clients?
I started very, you know, very traditionally. Basically, the moment when I found out that we were going to be closed, I simply sat down and created an Excel file, an email list with the people whom I used to be in contact with, whom I considered as my sources. Well, they used to be sources of information, and now I was hoping that they would become sources of business. So what happened, it was very surprising. And this is something I would like to, you know, it's a point I want to bring home for many of our listeners. Out of that, 100% of people in my list with whom I was almost on a weekly contact, up to 90% of people stopped taking my calls when the usefulness of being in contact with me disappeared. So I was not a journalist anymore. Therefore, you know, why pick up the phone for Christina? And I realized that the value of my network was actually the 10% of the people who, you know, saw me behind my role, who really valued me for who I was able to pick up the phone and say, yeah, I have some business for you, or sorry, for the moment, I don't have any business for you, but I will think about you. So even with a, you know, no, they were able to be there for me. And those who said yes are actually the people on whose shoulders my business started, because they were the first to help me to get my first deals.
Mm-hmm. In those 10% who were in touch with you after you finished your journalism career, out of those, I don't know, another 10% gave you some business. And do you think that those references or testimonials from them helped you to get further, or did you do some other reach out tactics to get new clients?
This is a beautiful question, and I wish it was that simple. The problem with media training and crisis communications is that people need it once every 5-7 years. You see, this is not a recurring product or service. And another thing, it's like with insurance. If you know, it's hard to understand that you need it before you actually had an accident or something that makes you aware that you need it. So many people consider communication skills and emotional intelligence a nice to have skill. Well, then something happens like the Corona crisis, and all of a sudden realize that we need to work from home, that we need to be emotionally intelligent. Otherwise, we will have an endless number of conflicts with people with whom we discuss remotely, that we are not able to manage our own bodies and our own emotions in this challenging environment. So these are not, you know, nice to have skills. These are absolutely essential strategic skills. And it was hard for me at the beginning to actually bring this message home and educate my market while gaining business. Therefore, I had to spread horizontally. You know, I could build to a certain extent upon the referrals, but again, you know, I had a pool of customers with whom I could work, and I had to develop my portfolio. So what happened is that my portfolio went into two directions. One direction was develop other strategic communication skills. So I started to train presentation skills, strategic feedback, strategic networking, personal branding, pretty much everything that you can do with the camera, I started to do it with people. And you know, the encounter with the camera is very confronting, and I knew how to work with that from my journalistic career. And I just fine-tuned the learning experience upon the development of a new communication skill. So that was one way to go. The second way to go was more into this direction of the emotional intelligence. Why do we want to have that skill in the first place? What kind of emotions drive us and stop us? How to work with ourselves? How to develop self-awareness? I became a trainer of the Enneagram, a system of personal development. How to develop self-mastery? Okay, how not to react to a journalist who is actually challenging me or, you know, pushing me into the corner? How to develop empathy, and how to use these skills for the benefit of your team or of your organization. And this was very important, because through developing a wider portfolio of services, I was actually able to provide more to my customers, even to the existing customers, and to bring home recurring deals. And that was what actually helped me to survive.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing that you remained flexible and pivoted when you saw this opportunity to stay with your current clients and offer them more value. Over the past 10 years, were there any major crossroads where you had to pivot your business or change it somehow?
Absolutely. And I'm very happy that you mentioned the word pivot, because I feel that this is very, very important these days. I feel that an entrepreneurial career is nothing but a series of pivots. And, you know, we can do these pivots with difficulty, as if it were some heavy boat that you need to shift on the water. Or you can do it with grace, like if you dance. And I, when I think of my pivots, some of them were more difficult and some of them, you know, the older you become, the more you know how to dance. So definitely there were some pivots along my career when, or along the last 10 years, which I found very difficult. One was happened in 2011. And that was actually a consequence of my own. It was a big mistake I did. And I had to refocus. So here's what happened. I wanted to organize the first conference on brand journalism, which was then a trendy concept, and you know, it was the beginning of content marketing. And I wanted to organize the first conference in Central Eastern Europe. So I invited here a very famous speaker, and I created a venue for it, and so on and so forth. My company, when I launched it, it was called Media Intel. Currently, it's called Media Education CE. So what happened is that I wanted to have this name, Media Intel, trademarked. And I applied for a European trademark. And 2 months before my conference, I got an information from Intel Corp that that I should stop using my company name in any commercial circumstances right away. Otherwise, they would sue me. So this was a tragedy, because I had 2 months and, you know, hundreds of I exaggerate, but 200,000 crowns in marketing materials I did have invested. And I remember how I took the marketing materials and threw them to the bin, because I generally had to reinvent the company branding overnight. So this was a tough one. Obviously, the conference ended up in a loss. And the second was in 2015, in fact, three of my customers, I had four major clients, and three of them, they did something which I didn't expect. One was sold, one closed practice on the Czech market, and I can't remember what happened with the third one. However, out of my four major clients, three of them decided to end our contract. They gave me 3 month notice, but however. So what I decided to do was to listen to the voice of one of my other large clients, who proposed me an interim management mandate. And I decided to take it for the sake of trying how it is to lead communications for global organizations from the Czech Republic. Mm-hmm. So what I did in 2016 was to be the interim integrated communications manager for Foxconn Global Services Division. And I started for 6 months, but my mandate got prolonged. And I ended up 18 months carrying this mandate and really trying on myself how it is to lead integrated communications for a global company. Now, looking back, on the one hand, I'm very grateful for the experience. But on the other hand, I don't think I would do it again for 18 months, because it really took a toll on my business, which almost came to a halt. And I had to take a lot of time to restart my training business again.
Mm-hmm. Since then, were there any remarkable pivots again?
Well, this happened in 2017. And when I finished with Foxconn, I told myself, this is it. I want to live the rest of my life training people and working directly with people. I don't want to, I can, but I don't want to provide, you know, consulting services as the primary thing of my business. I want to develop people in the three areas that matter to me: strategic communications, emotional intelligence, and leadership. So with this decision in mind, I had to look at my portfolio. And what I did was, because I had some reserves, thanks to this beautiful, you know, client mandate, and this financial reserves allowed me to sit down and write my first book. And in 2018, I actually published my first book here on the Czech market. And the book is about personal branding. It's called You, the Brand, Personal Branding for Career Growth. Now, this was a major milestone in my career and my life. First of all, because I wrote a book. So, you know, I'm quite proud. Second is because I wrote this book in Czech. And this is my fourth language. You know, when I started the business, I could barely express myself, and I didn't trust myself to actually go and write an article in a Czech daily. And now I ended up writing this book, and it kind of brought the awareness home that I made it. You know, I made it not only as being integrated as a businesswoman on this market, but also all my former skills came back to me, and they came back handy because I could do interviews with people. I knew what to ask them, how to handle it. You know, all these beautiful things that I loved about journalism, I could take them and apply them, but under my conditions, aligned with the purpose that I wanted. I could do journalistic work and use the benefit of it without being so vulnerable as I had been all those, 8 years ago when I finished my career. So this was a beautiful milestone, and it triggered, it genuinely had a super impact on my career because it triggered a lot of business, a lot of new customers, a lot of visibility, and it kind of relaunched my my training career.
Wow. One of my next questions was, what do you perceive as one of your most remarkable successes? And I guess the book is probably on top of the list. Are there any other milestones like that that you're really proud of?
There is, in fact. And one of them is in December 2016, when I graduated the Enneagram in training, the Enneagram Professional Training Program. Now, this is a program which took 4 years, and it was really, you know, blood, sweat, and tears to go through it. However, it is one of the best programs in the world. And I really wanted to go for it because I felt it's worth it. Now, I'm also had the luxury of learning it in Czech here in Prague, thanks to Veva Cizi, which is a representative of the narrative, the Enneagram Worldwide School. So I was able to graduate, to go through this program, graduated, and I felt that this gave me the autonomy or the possibility of speaking about emotional intelligence in the framework of the Enneagram. It really widened and deepened my portfolio. The second milestone was actually, it's funny, it was earlier this year when I went through a certification program or like a recruitment program. And at the end, I became a certified meta coach for Daniel Goleman's Emotional Intelligence Institute. Now, this is something which I cannot express my awe and my gratitude enough, because Daniel Goleman is the father of the concept of emotional intelligence. I mean, if you want to learn emotional intelligence, you go to Goleman and to his books. And being able to, you know, join this community of meta coaches is just, you know, my hands are shaking only when I'm thinking of the scope and the impact of this thing. So I'm really, really grateful for these things because they allow me to serve better. You know, the more I learn myself, the more I'm able to serve. And this is something which is, I think it has been the leitmotif of my last 10 years.
I would also like to mention one more success that I perceive from my perspective. And that is that last year you organized Personal Branding Summit. It was the first digital conference on personal branding in the Czech Republic. And I want to ask you more about that. How did you come up with the idea, and what were the biggest learnings?
Well, this was a whole, you know, the Personal Branding Summit, it was a beautiful adventure and a beautiful learning experience. I really took it as a pilot. The inspiration that I got was, again, from the Enneagram world, paradoxically, because one of the Enneagram schools is organizing this online summits already for a couple of years. So when I was looking at it, I was like, you know, I could do something like that for the Czech market in Czech on personal branding. So the idea, the inspiration was out there. However, I said, you know, should I perhaps retwinkle a bit the business model? So I've really been in this experimenting mode. The funny thing is that about this time last year, when I started to talk with people about the idea of the summit, people were like, this is not going to work. People don't want to use content from home. People don't work from home, which was true before the crisis. About 4% of Czech were working from home. So, you know, I had two options, either to stop doing it because apparently people are not interested in it, or to go for it by taking full responsibility for whatever comes my way. So I said, I'm going to go for it. I take full responsibility for financing it from my own cash flow. And I want to use it as a testing ground for a couple of hypotheses. So I gave myself a couple of, you know, key indicators, metrics. And one financial metrics was just one of them. Many more of them were, you know, people's reaction to the idea of personal branding, the possibility of creating a community around the idea of personal branding, and so on and so forth. I also wanted to build a bit of social proof by reaching out to my community and bringing people interviews with valuable people and so on. So with these indicators in mind, we went for it. What I'm most grateful for is that I brought together a team of really nice professionals whom I feel they, you know, lived and breathed with me. Both my web designer, Oskar Ćorić, and my video maker, Anka Anči Hitilova, and my, you know, my graphic designer, Pavla. There's just so wonderful people who really you want to have in your corner when you go for this type of interventions. So here's what happened. In May, we decided to go for it. In July, we started to shoot the videos. We ended up towards the end of August. We spent the whole September creating the content. And in October, we run the summit, which is madness if you're thinking about it, because we're talking about 30 video interviews of about an hour. So we had to, you know, go through them, edit them, put them out there and so on. Looking back, I don't think this was a very good, timing, but more like agenda, because such a summit really needs about 9 months, a minimum of 9 months to be well prepared. So if you're asking me the key learnings, definitely give it more time, definitely give it more budget, particularly in terms of advertising, and definitely hire someone else in the team who is able to focus on communications only. I thought I would be able to handle this agenda, but when you are so, if you really want to be strategic, you need to keep your head clear. You cannot do strategic thinking and orient the team and lead the team and at the same time take care of details like how to share a link on YouTube. So it ended up being a bit too much for me personally. But on the other hand, I didn't have an extra person budgeted for the program. So I was in a bit of a squeeze. I think that with the resources that we had, with the best that we could, the outcome is that, you know, we have the content available now. I can offer it to people and we can still use it. The community, we had more than 300 users, which is actually something which I'm very grateful, because all of a sudden I have 300 people with whom I can run a dialogue about personal branding. So this is very good. We have a fresh group on Facebook with whom we're also discussing these ideas. So what I'm hoping is that this adventure of ours, which took a lot of our time and quite a lot of my money, is actually turning into something which is helpful and supportive right now, because I feel that the topic of personal branding is going to become absolutely essential in the months to come. Right now, we're all looking at remote leadership, how to work from home, how to, you know, run successful virtual teams and so on. Some other people are looking at some other strategic issues with regards to their business, the operational part. But I feel that for a lot of people whose jobs will be perhaps threatened, the idea of personal branding is going to become absolutely essential in the second half of this year.
Totally. Yeah, that's one of the opportunities that maybe will there be for you and your business. Do you think there are also some challenges at those turbulent times of the COVID-19 in terms of running your business?
For me right now, the challenges are pretty much the same as they were before. The most important challenge was to pivot my content so I can serve people with what they need right now. And the fact is, I've been teaching remote leadership since 2017, because when I was working for Foxconn, I was working with a remote team. So, you know, this was very helpful. Second, I am working, I'm a member of the board of the International Systemic Constellations Association, which is a global association with 400 members, and we run everything remotely. So again, I have hands-on experience on how to, you know, be part of a leadership team, but also lead an organization which is completely remote. And I was able to pivot with a lot of ease and start to deliver this type of content. That was one thing. The second challenge was to pivot in terms of the delivery ways. So all the trainings at the beginning of March, everything I had in the pipeline for the rest of the year was either canceled or postponed, which is super scary. Like, doesn't matter how long you're in business, is just freaking you out. So what I did was, again, to, you know, turn everything remotely and find the right platform and start to use Teams and other platforms which I haven't used before to serve my clients on the platforms that they like. And I'm observing something which is very interesting. I had been working a lot or kind of looking my ways to go to Romania, for example, because I love, you know, the work that I could do there in my mother tongue. Oh, that would be a dream. Or I have valuable content that I want to provide to our colleagues in the Systemic Constellations Association or in the Enneagram Association. But these colleagues are all over the world. And before March, I had to go to international conferences and present my work there. Or if I wanted to lead a workshop, I had to actually go to the people to have the workshop face to face. Because people's awareness of the value of learning online was not there. Okay. So people, if they had to choose between a personal interaction and a virtual interaction, they would always choose the personal interaction. Now, circumstantially, they choose virtual interactions. And I'm also hoping that in the future, the balance between the two will be much more balanced. So paradoxically, the barriers that I had of entering either new markets or communities whom I want to serve are not there anymore. All of a sudden, I can serve so many more people. So I think the biggest challenge for me right now is to stay focused on what matters now, but at the same time to look into the future and make the right choices, with an eye on the long term.
That's a beautiful silver lining of this situation. So thank you for sharing. Christina, how does your usual work day look like?
Oh, now this is really funny because I have developed my working style when I was a journalist. And I'm an early bird. I'm a girl from the village who wakes up, with the morning light. So if you find me working at 4 o'clock, there is nothing new about that. At the same time, you will find me sleeping at 9 o'clock in the evening. So I'm not the person you want to invite to a party. So I wake up very early. I pacify my army of pets because I have a dog and two cats, and all of them. As soon as I'm moving in the bed, they're on top of me and they want their share of attention. And once I'm done with that, I start writing. The first things I do in the morning are the creative work because I have my brain is fresh. So I find it much easier to distill my thoughts, my ideas, either in English or in Czech. This is the thing which is usually leaving my table the first. Once I'm done with that, usually I take a breakfast and do some exercise and so, and then I plunge into emails or into client deals because it can be, I can already have from 9 o'clock, I have some meetings and so. So this is the way it works from basically 9 to 6, if you will. I am in client meetings or in coaching or you name it. I basically, there is no agenda because I am constantly at the sake of my customers. So no day looks alike. Towards the end of the day, this is when the funny part starts. I'm genuinely useless after 6 o'clock. So if you want to have, stuff with me in the evening, I'm very tired. I'm already, this is the part which I leave for friendly conversations, a cup of coffee, a glass of wine, just walking my dog, just reading a book, doing something which brings me pleasure. And this end of the day is generally the part which I adore, and my dog adores, my cats don't, because they think I shouldn't spend so much time at home. This is how my day looks like.
Sounds wonderful. I wish I could wake up that early, but I'm the night owl, so it was always my goal to wake up very early, but I figured that you probably shouldn't try to change your type.
Not at all. And this is something very important. I thank you for bringing it up. I think it's very important, particularly today when we're, learning how to work from home, is important to respect our biorhythm. So, someone is an early bird and I am very focused in the morning. But then again, I'm telling you, in the afternoon, you cannot expect strategic thinking out of me. Someone, by the contrary, starts to roll after 12 o'clock and is very productive in the evening or later at night. And some other people, they need more breaks throughout the day. And these breaks can be active and take a walk, or passive, they can take a nap. And I think it's very important to respect our bodies. If there is something giving us an indication of what would be the next sustainable step for us, these are our bodies. And I encourage everyone listening now to really attune to your bodies and see how tired you really are. What kind of activities, tire you? Is more mental fatigue? Or is it rather an emotional fatigue? Or what kind of, you know, food brings you energy, not just joy and pleasure, because that would be ice cream with me. But, you know, you cannot live on Häagen-Dazs. And what are the things that bring you really energy? What makes you feel good also when you sit in front of a computer? I think we should not ignore the screen fatigue phenomenon, which a lot of people are experiencing now, perhaps for the first time in their lives, if they haven't been used to work from home. So there are a lot of things to take into consideration to increase our resilience also in the current circumstances.
Totally. Thank you for bringing that up. Christina, I would like to shift the gears a little bit, and I'd like to ask you about the people who helped you along the way. So just to give you some context, you are amazing and you worked hard for your success and you pivoted your business multiple times and you never stop. But in my opinion, there's always people who help us get where we are today. So who was that for you?
Oh my God. I always say that we grow on the shoulders of giants. And, you know, if you will, from my first teacher in the village, I remember her telling my mother, not to me, that whenever you want something, you cannot go right, you cannot go left, you need to go straight for what you want. And this was, at that time, a revolutionary idea. This was a communist Romania before the revolution. And other people, various teachers, my first teacher of French, she put the first bread into my hand, because when I actually moved to the Czech Republic and I didn't have a job yet, what I did was teach French to children to prepare them for high school and to people who wanted to improve their French skills. So a wide area of teachers throughout my careers, and the editors that I had in the newsroom, God bless them. I mean, how much I learned about writing in English and, you know, shaping my style thanks to their skills, because they were native speakers and they were very experienced professionals. Later on, when I started my business, the first year I joined a mentoring program, which is called My Odyssey. And I was one among the, I think it was the second generation of mentees. And I'm still in touch with this program till today, as in the mentee and mentors alumni community. So I am tremendously grateful for the wide area of people, not to speak about my clients who ended up becoming my friends and the other way around. Currently, I am surrounded, when I'm looking around, you know, last year with the Personal Branding Summit, it was tough. It was a lot of work. And when I looked, I did a kind of a radiography of how I'm feeling, you know, physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. And I realized that emotionally, I was very high. I felt very, very uplifted. And that was because I was surrounded with amazing people who really rooted for me. So if I were to mention such people, oh, I mean, I could never stop. I'm thinking of Renata Mrazova, Lenka Mrazova, who are, you know, mentors and friends, Drahuš Mandikova from Plzeňský Prazdroj, Vera Budvajšová, who is an amazing personality. And, you know, it's such a pity that she's not in the Czech Republic more. Oh my God, I'm sure I have forgotten. Dita Stiskalova from Ogilvy, who's a beautiful, inspiring mentor and friend. I also have mentors from abroad. Sara Vuhtoniemi, she's my mentor in the Enneagram community, and so on. So when I'm listening now to myself, I realize I could use some men mentors, because I have a lot of beautiful women, but perhaps it would be time to have a few men mentors as well.
So from what I'm hearing, there is never a bad time to get a mentor. So even though you're already an experienced professional and entrepreneur and you can mentor many people, you can still also be mentored by someone.
Absolutely, because you're always in the middle of the journey. You have something behind that we can share with those who are, you know, down on the flow of the water, but also you have things ahead of you. And in fact, I think that the more you mature, the more mentors you have. Because you realize that it's unnecessary to do, you know, to repeat all the mistakes and, you know, to, in fact, you welcome this type of insightful dialogues. And here's what I call, I don't know if you're familiar with the concept of friend-tor. It's a combination of friend and mentor. And this is what I feel I have, you know, it's the capacity of having a community of 20, 25 people that you can pick up the phone and actually call and say, you know, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this one. It's not an official mentoring session. It's just a 15 to 20 minute insightful conversation with someone who is who's there for you with an open heart, mind, and arms. And if you need something, you know that you can rely on them because they're further than you are. So again, the more mature you are, I think the more mentors you have, and then little by little, they become this friend doors.
That's a lovely concept. Christina, we reflected a lot on your journey. I would like to ask you, what is next for you and Media Education CEE? What are you planning this year?
You are the first to tell this publicly. So I feel almost like a knot in my stomach when I'm articulating these visions loud. Because again, as I said, this year is very symbolic to me. And it's 10 years since I had to say goodbye to something I thought I'm going to do to my grave. And I need to acknowledge that. And I also need to kind of honor, because that part, that journalistic part of my life, made whom I am today possible. So there are three things I want to do. First thing is, now at the end of April, when Czech Business Weekly was closed, in fact, we're planning with my partner in digital communications, Oskar Cioric, we're planning the launch of Christina Mundian TV. Now, this TV platform, it's a web platform where all my videos in Czech and in English will be. And my desire is that people who want to, you know, have a taste of my know-how, they can go there, they can watch some videos, they can watch some, you know, just insights, short 1-2 minute insights, or they can watch some courses if they want to. So it's going to be the depository, if you will, the academy, the depository of all my videos. Now that's one thing. And I'm very excited about it. It takes a lot of my mental capacity these days. You asked me also about the Media Education CEE. And again, my stomach is going into a knot when I'm thinking about it, because there are two things which are ahead of me. They're both big. First, I want to rebrand the company, but I don't have the new name yet. I feel that Media Education CEE was a beautiful brand that held me in this transition and kind of a shelter in my becoming. But now it's time for a new identity. Now it's time for my company brand to stand in its full power and express clearly that its intention, its mission, is to support people to navigate challenging situations and to develop themselves in strategic communications, emotional intelligence, and leadership. That's it. And this is what I would like for the new brand to reflect, also by attracting new people on the board. I think that with the new brand will come also a new business model, in which for the moment I'm a solopreneur, which I feel good, and I intend to stay that way in the future. But this doesn't exclude the possibility of developing a network of fellow, you know, trainers, because there are a lot of things that I would like to offer more, and I either cannot because I don't have the capacity, or I cannot because I don't have the competencies. Like, for example, burnout. I would love to have someone in my team to work on those specific issues with people. Or there's a variety of issues that I would like to develop more. So that's one thing. But the thing which really uplifts me from the chair is something that I've been thinking for 2 years already, and I think is getting near fruition. I want to launch a mentoring program for journalists. And this is so important to me, because this is exactly what I want to, you know, I want to provide my former colleagues with the support I didn't have. And I really want to be there for this program, to be there for them when they hit a rough patch in their career. So I would like this, you know, mentoring program for journalists to help journalists to develop themselves on emotional intelligence, managerial skills, and career management. How we will do it, how I will do it, I have no idea. But I feel that, you know, Media Education CEE is really more, perhaps the brand will shift more to shelter this new concept. So there are still a few things that I want to figure out. However, these two new visions are almost, you know, like you're 9 months pregnant and you just, you know, it's going to happen, just don't know when. So that's the kind of phase I'm in.
2020 is going to be a very strategic year for Cristina Montean and her company. Fingers crossed for you. We are here for you anytime. Where can our listeners find out more about you, get in touch with you?
Definitely on cristinamontean.com in English, on Cristina Montean CZ in Czech. You can easily find me on LinkedIn or on Facebook, where I am crazy enough to actually have three professional pages, one in Czech, one in English, and one in Romanian. So actually, you cannot miss me.
And cannot we miss any of your upcoming ventures, like Cristina Montean TV and such this way?
On both websites, you can register to receive my newsletter. So that would be the best way to keep in touch. I'm sending this newsletter regularly to my communities. And again, Czech speaking and English speaking. So definitely join my newsletter, keep an eye on my novelties, and I will be more than happy to share them, to have this heartfelt sharing also with you, Clara, and with the FemPalette community.
Thank you so much, Cristina, for chatting with me. It was a lovely talk. I'll be looking forward to all what's coming up for you in 2020.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me here. And let's hope that, you know, God above doesn't have other ideas and plans for us. Obviously, this year is more like, you know, you plan and God is laughing. So let's hope that things will go in a good direction for all of us.
I hope so too. Have a lovely rest of the day, and bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And that's a wrap. But the fun doesn't have to stop here. If you have any questions, guest suggestions, or feedback, shoot us an email to podcast@fempalette.com. To learn more about our community, head over right now to FemPalette Instagram or Facebook and get involved. Thank you for listening, and join us in 2 weeks for the next episode of On Air, a podcast by FemPalette.